April.
Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, April 7th, 2015. And with me today...
Correct.
Yeah. With me today, I have my crack team, because they can keep me up to date on what the date actually is. Except yesterday...
I wasn't there. I'm so upset.
It's generally John's duty.
Yeah, yesterday the show had Brian and Kelly with me, and I said it was March 6th. And you guys didn't miss a beat. You just kept going. I don't think either of you actually noticed that I had said that. It wasn't until later in the day when I got a tweet from someone saying, March? Really?
Did you voice over in post-production?
No. Oh, no.
No.
I heard you say March, but it didn't occur to me that that was not today. That was my problem.
So, yeah. So apparently this is April, not March.
I've heard.
Yeah. Anyhow, so the voices that you're hearing, first, Kelly Gumond. How are you, Kelly?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. And it's April, just so you know. John Martellaro, okay. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm testing my blue snowball.
Oh, and I'll make sure we have a link in the show notes so everyone knows what microphone John is playing with this week. And John, I find it fascinating that this is your first experience with a blue snowball. I just assumed everyone that I knew had already gotten one and tested it. So it's actually kind of cool getting to experience your first time with a snowball. Because this isn't something that I've seen for a really long time.
Yeah, I'm kind of new to this thing. You know, a couple of years ago, you guys said, well, you know, you're going to be doing a lot of stuff on the air. So, you know, it's time for you to get a decent mic. You know, I've been experimenting with a blue snowflake and headphone mics. And you guys said, all right, John, it's time. So, you know, we got that blue Yeti, which is a pretty decent microphone. I used it for many years. But then about 2 months ago or 3 months ago, I got this be in my bonnet, like, let's explore, let's find out about different microphones and Apogee and IK Multimedia and Blue have been very pleased to send me some mics for testing, so it's been a lot of fun.
Which is great. And so, listeners, this is where you come in. Give us your feedback. Let us know what you think of the various microphones John has been using. And when he runs through his supply of test units, we will then decide which microphone he will continue to use based on your feedback. So let us know what you think, because whatever you guys decide, that's what you're going to be hearing from John.
And in this case, I'm actually not kidding. We do, in fact, look forward to your letters.
That's true. We really do.
Yes, we do.
So let us know. Hey, the first story that I wanted to hit today is the news that Angela Ahrens, who is the vice president of retail and online sales for Apple, sent a memo out to the retail stores telling the employees that when Apple Watch sales begin, that they are to urge customers to go buy online.
Mm-hmm.
And this I find to be very fascinating, because this is not how Apple has handled sales in the past. What they've done historically is you, for a product launch, you show up and then hopefully they have product for you. And if not, you come back and try again later. That, you know, they may say, look, you could also try online. You may have some luck there, but that's just an extra option they're throwing out. What Angela is telling the employees is that this is the solution you're giving everyone.
Well, you know, I feel sorry for Angela, because sales VPs really have a tough time at Apple. They have to take what they're given from engineering. They have to take the guidance from the rest of the executive team, and they have to take into account the sensibilities of the customers and the sales team and kind of roll it on into a nice hairball and send it out there with a smile. It's interesting to watch.
But here's the concerning thing to me, is that the way this breaks down when you get down to it is that it's going to be telling Apple customers no. Like, however you want to say that. You know, she's strongly encouraging people to go place their order online, one thing and another. But what it comes down to is basically, you know, we have a store, but you can't buy it here. And that's just very hard for me.
Gatewayed, yes. I like
that. Well, it's hard for me to reconcile. You know, I go to a store to buy a thing. Now, sometimes, now I'm not going to lie, I'm the first person to admit it. Like, every time I ever checked in on Foursquare at the Apple store, I think 99% of them was, I'm here touching stuff. And that's what I like about the retail experience. That's why I haven't signed my entire life over to Amazon Prime yet. But I don't understand, especially for something like this that is going to be 0-day launch excitement. You know, everybody wants it on day one. And, you know, I think that part of the reason they're trying to do this is to counteract the ginormous line in the store, well, in front of the store. But I don't think that's going to change. So people are going to be outside, like, waiting in line to get to go try on a watch just to get told, like, pull your phone out of your pocket and go order it, and then you'll have it in a few days.
How many,
like,
people will get the message?
1%. That's what I mean. You know, a lot of those people who are waiting in line aren't the people who are going to have been keeping close tabs on the watch and the buying experience and all of that. You know, they're going to be like, oh, I heard it was the 24th, so I'm going to go get in line on the 24th, take the day off work and go stand there and hang out, and then be like, what do you mean no? Like, I came here to buy one. How come I can't? And then it's going to be, you know, gatewaying into the online Apple store or whatever, and you're still not going to be able to walk into a store with $350 and walk out with a watch. And I find that it's a fundamental shift in Apple's store experience, and I'm very curious.
Acknowledged this is a fundamental change.
Yeah.
And how is that going to go? And is it just...
It's not going to go well.
Well, here's my hunch, is that they're testing it with the watch to see if this is a thing they can do with the iPhone later this year.
Well, they're also doing it with the MacBook.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but, you know, these items are items that people have bought in the past with success, and they pretty much know what to expect. But as we have discussed and written about, the whole idea here was, is this was going to be a personal buying experience. You were going to walk in. You were going to kind of match it with your personality and your clothing, and the salespeople were all trained to, you know, be very warm and understanding and perceptive of your personality and pick just the right watch for you. And now all of a sudden it's like, no. Not only no, but no. And guess what? No. So this is a big shift.
Yes, it is. Okay, so here's my big takeaway from this. You need to do the online reservation. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are expecting to be able to go into an Apple store and buy a watch, you are going to be disappointed. So.
Now, let me point out that we're not saying this for the benefit of people who are listening to this show, because those people have figured it out already. We've already told them this. You people need to spread the word. You are the people who are going to be able to disseminate this information when you hear somebody say, like, oh, I took the 24th off because I'm going to go wait in line for an Apple Watch. No, sweetie, no. So make sure that if you know people who are having this conversation, that you let them know this, because maybe it will help stop mall riots in front of Apple stores.
Right. So I'm tasking you, dear listeners, with helping out your friends and family that aren't as connected as you are and don't understand what they're going to encounter when they try and buy a watch on the 24th without having prepared ahead of time. So help those people out, because they're going to need it, and now you'll be the hero.
And help them quick, because the pre-order appointments start booking Friday.
That's right.
Thursday night, technically, I guess.
Personal note on that, too. Yesterday, for the first time, I took a piece of paper that was 220 millimeters long, like the size of a watch band, and wrapped it around my wrist, and I discovered I have a 200 millimeter wrist, which puts me on the high end and kind of excludes me for some of the 38 millimeter watches I thought I might want. So if you haven't wrapped a piece of paper around your wrist and measured it and gone to the sizing chart, you need to do that if you're going to do an online order, to make sure that you're cast into the right regime for your wrist size and the watch size.
That's excellent advice, which also I think is a great segue into the next thing I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And this, okay, so I posted a piece on Mac Observer talking about how Apple has to earn my wrist with mm-hmm. Apple Watch.
A great piece it was.
Why, thank you. And John, you followed that up with your perspective, which is Apple already won your wrist. And for me, this is really interesting because, well, first, I have not worn a watch in a couple decades. And yet I have been a big proponent of fitness trackers. And of course, the fitness tracker I ended up settling on is the Fitbit One, originally the Fitbit Ultra. And that clips to my pants does not go around my wrist. So mm-hmm. my wrist is still free. So my wrist is prime real estate. Apple and every other watchmaker really wants that space, and they have to earn it. In my case, Apple has to convince me that they deserve to have additional space because they're not replacing things for me with the Apple Watch because I still need to have sleep tracking. Apple Watch doesn't do that. I use a smart scale to keep track of my weight. Apple Watch doesn't do that either. So just right out the chute, this is a supplemental device, not a replacement for everything else I'm using. And since my wrist is high value real estate, Apple is going to have to prove to me why their watch gets to stay there.
And I thought that was an interesting perspective, too, because I've always worn a watch. I feel naked without it. You know, there's clocks all around me in the house. There's clocks on my computer screen. There's a clock on my phone. But it's just instinctive to me. When I want to know what time it is real quick, it's a flick of the wrist. And so I've got this old Swiss Army watch that I've been wearing for, a decade. And I'm ready for a new watch. And I've had Sapphire watches in the past, and I've got an old Rado that broke years ago and couldn't get fixed. And so I'm eager for an Apple Watch. I'm eager for Sapphire. I'm eager for my sci-fi dream to be able to wave my hand to the terminal and walk out of the Panera Bread or the Whole Foods and be on my way. And so my attitude about the watch is remarkably different than Jeff's. And so I thought I would write a sort of a companion piece, inspired as I was by Jeff, to sort of provide my perspective about how I feel. And I'm pretty much on board and ready to go with this.
Well, for you, Apple Watch is a replacement device, not a supplemental device.
Exactly.
And that's a huge difference. As a replacement device, I think it's a much easier sell to just have it all the time. But when I've gone from a world where I used to have to carry a backpack loaded with all the things that I needed to do what I'm doing with an iPhone today.
Yeah.
Adding new...
A big backpack.
Yeah, it was a big backpack, yeah. And now I'm doing all of that with an iPhone, and then I do have a Fitbit clip to my belt or to my pocket. Well, there you go. I have consolidated pounds and pounds of gear down to something that fits in the palm of my hand.
I was always inspired by you with this early work on the Fitbit, but then you had specific needs for it that drove you towards it, the sleep monitoring and the smart scale, as you mentioned. I've never really had that problem or that set of issues with me. So I sleep really well, and I kind of perceive the Fitbit thing that you were doing is something that you really, really, really needed to do, and I didn't really, really, really need to do, and I didn't have time for it. Mm-hmm. And I saw that technology is kind of like incipient and not quite mature yet, and sort of vaguely knew that there was going to be something that was going to be a bingo hit for me, and then it did come along. So that's my perspective.
And that totally makes sense. And for me, the fitness tracking devices have all been things that I've looked at as tools to improve my health. And I had a very real goal. When I started using a Fitbit, it's because I was overweight, like way overweight. And I used a Fitbit to help me lose 60 pounds. And that's a huge thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work, but I needed something that would give me the motivation, the personal incentive, and the personal accountability that I needed to continue with reaching towards my goal, which was to get myself back in shape and to get rid of the excess weight. And after trying several things, it was the Fitbit that stuck. And I mean, the first day I started using it, it was like, okay, I found my device.
Mm-hmm. You know, my goal has been to monitor all my moving around, up and walking in the stairs and getting about. But when I have my when I go out for my walks, my phone is very good at tracking my steps and my miles. But when it's sitting on my desk here in the office all day long, I don't get that advantage. So another reason,
right,
besides Apple Pay, which is the number one thing for me, is to have the watch on every waking hour so that I get the advantage of tracking all my movements and can better understand my health that way.
Yes, and I think that's fantastic. And what I'm curious to see is if my Fitbit becomes just a sleep tracker, if I switch to another device for sleep tracking, or if I end up carrying my Fitbit and my Apple Watch all the time. Or if eventually I decide I don't want an Apple Watch.
Either way, you got something to write about.
That's right. And when I start really digging into the Apple Watch for our review, it's going to get a lot of serious physical activity use, because this is one of the things Apple is really pushing with Apple Watch.
Right.
So
hi, I'm Christy Turlington. I run marathons.
Right. and I can walk to mountains that it's if I decide to stroll, the trailhead that gets me up mountains is 20 minutes away. In a car, 5 minutes. So so I have all of this area around me that's going to get put to really good use, not just for me, but also to see what the Apple Watch is really doing.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see just how Apple Watch holds up. And going through the review process, I believe, is going to play a big role in determining whether or not Apple wins that real estate on my wrist.
Watch words.
No, maybe now I can get one. I need one, Mr. Kelly, so we can go hiking.
There you go.
This spousal justification form, number 116. Fill it out and sign it.
So, all right. So, John, you're sold. I am optimistically skeptical. And Kelly is trying to find the right form to file with Mr. Kelly so that she can get a watch.
Yeah, here's hoping. My laptop still has that fresh off the showroom floor smell, so odds are slim. But now, listening to you guys talk about the fitness piece of it has made me more curious about it. And the reason that I think the fitness piece might take off is because the Fitbit is a special thing. And the Fitbit is a thing that you don't... I have a Fitbit. I'm on the little... I think the same one as you, Jeff. The one that's not the wristband. It's the little flat...
Yeah, kind of glossy black surface.
Yeah, and it doesn't have a clip, so it doesn't crack.
Yep, that's the Fitbit one.
Yeah, so I have the one. I had the Ultra before that. Actually, I had a few of them because they kept cracking.
As did I.
And the thing about the Fitbit is that it's a special thing. So you have to remember to put it in your pocket. You have to remember to clip it to your shirt or whatever. And it was a special thing that you had to do. Now, the advantage to that is that when I have my Fitbit on, somehow it's sort of also pressing on the back of my mind. Like, this thing is tracking your steps and you don't have any. And so it sort of motivates me to get up and walk around, like, you know, for no apparent reason. Maybe I should go all the way upstairs, you know, and do something up there, you know, just to have gone up and down the stairs, things like that. So I wonder if the watch will have the same psychological effect for people. And yet it's also a thing that would be a normal piece of clothing or whatever, you know, a normal accessory to wear. So I'm hoping that maybe that is part of what will help people in working this out. And I can't wait to see the fitness pieces in the videos that we've seen start rolling out on the Apple website. How how to interact with the fitness pieces that are on, that the watch will already show you. I'm very curious how exactly that's going to play out. And one of the nice things about those videos is that they are showing exactly how that stuff is going to
work. You know where this is all leading to? Eventually, we'll have blood sugar monitoring, and that's going to be a major effect on our health and diet and advertising in this country. Because as soon as you have one of those Cokes and a chocolate croissant,
and your Apple Watch is going to go
berserk.
And your watch is having a seizure.
Yes.
So you don't have to. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm particularly sensitive to that because I have diabetic family members, and I want them to be healthy too. And I feel like I want this to be the sort of thing that would maybe help them. You know, being able to pull that up on your arm and be like, "Hey, you know, I have a little room today, so I can have a soda with lunch," or, you know, whatever, and be able to sort of compensate on the fly and be able to monitor that a lot more closely. There's still a lot of stuff. Like, I know there were 30 pin blood sugar monitors for your phone that had such a hard time getting through the FDA that, you know, everything went to lightning before some of those ever got out the door. So I'm hoping for some sort of progress on that front for family members I have and who really do enjoy using their iPhones, and maybe this is something that would also assist them.
What's cool is that we're just at the beginning. I mean, the Apple Watch hasn't even shipped. I mean, think what we'll be doing in 5 years.
And that's the thing that I'm excited about, because that was the thing that excited me about the iPad was, look, it's a big screen. I can read a book on it. But, like, you know, other people in doing unusual things with an iPad, stuff that people had that nobody else had really thought about before, and they're doing something cool with it. That's the part that I love most about the iPad, and I think that's exactly where the Apple Watch is going to end up too.
Yeah, I think there's a very exciting future in store for us with Apple wearable technology, and it's not going to be limited to our wrists.
Well, with wearable technology, because once everybody figures out that somebody's going to actually wear an Apple Watch, then, you know, that kind of kicks the door down for everybody else to come in behind it and do other interesting, cool things. You know, Fitbit's not the only fitness tracker in town.
No, it just happens to be my fitness tracker of choice.
Well, they were first. They were the one that lots of people knew about, and then others came in behind them. So there's people who use a Misfit, there's people who use the Nike, there's people who use the Jawbone, and it's because Fitbit kicked in that door. So once Apple kicks in a door, who knows what we'll see. And that's what's, to me, that's what's really exciting, is not necessarily Apple kicking in the door. I mean, I'm glad they're doing it, but what's going to happen once the door is open?
Yeah, that's going to be really exciting. And we're out of time.
Oh, no.
I know. We're out of time on this April 7th.
See, 2014.
Yeah. Anyhow, Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
I'll be in my phone booth if you need me.
I know where to find you. John, thank you so much for being here today
as
well.
You're welcome. This was fun.
It's always great to have both of you on the show. And listeners, thank you for joining us yet again. And if you have any thoughts on whether or not the Apple Watch deserves a place on our wrists or needs to earn it, let me know. I'm curious to hear what you think too. And hey, we'll see everyone again tomorrow.